Well, good morning, church. Hope all is well. We are continuing in our study of the Gospel of Matthew, and I want to thank Paula for filling in the last couple of weeks. We've been on vacation. The Davis family, we're back. Went to Catalina, had a wonderful time. Thank you for all of those who prayed. Thank you for all of those who pitched in to help out while I was gone. And we have been doing well. I think the church is doing good. We've been enjoying our home fellowships. And we are back on Wednesday nights with the study on creation. We'll be here Wednesday night at my home in this coming Wednesday, talking about the second day. So I hope you are available for that. Come on out for that. We're having a good time. And there's all kinds of good instruction left for us. So we want to continue in our story of Jesus, which is really what Matthew is all about. And Matthew has a perspective that not only is unique to him, but it's really a side of Jesus that all of us need to see, especially when we think about the mega theme of Jesus's statement about the kingdom of God, right? And that the way Matthew saw it, everything that Jesus did was part of developing this definition of what the kingdom of God was all about. And this, what we're talking about this morning has a lot to do with the kingdom of God because it's talking about forgiveness and healing, right? So when we think about healing and forgiveness, we tend to think of them as separate activities of Jesus, right? He is a healer and he is a forgiver, right? And when we, you know, when we pray for people, I imagine, you know, back in the day when we were in church, we every Sunday or even Wednesday nights, we would ask people, you know, if you need prayer, we would lay hands on the sick, we would anoint with oil the way the scripture tells us to do. And we were, you know, extremely diligent. Not that we're not now, it's just that we don't have the opportunity to be with the whole church. We've done that maybe 1 week. This last Wednesday was the first. And still, there was, you know, maybe 30 people here, but there's still another, the vast majority of people did not attend. And so that's you know, one of the things that we have as a core value in our church is to continue this theme of Jesus healing and forgiving. But when somebody comes up to be healed, we pray specifically for the healing. We say, you know, what's wrong with you? And we determine what that is, and then we go before the Lord, and we anoint with oil, and we ask God to heal and give him a request. So our text today deals with both of these things, forgiveness and healing, concurrently. And, you know, are healing and forgiveness connected? Are they separate attributes of Jesus? Is healing a sign of forgiveness? You know, as we open the text this morning, we remember that forgiveness and healing are still real experiences that Christians are blessed with today, right? We believe that God is the same forgiver that he was, and we believe that God is the same healer that he was. Those things don't change. Remember, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so our text this morning is Matthew chapter 9. Yes, we made it to chapter 9. It seemed like it was forever to get here. And now, you know, we're not dealing with the Sermon on the Mount anymore, which is sort of verse by verse. We're dealing with, you know, paragraph by paragraph and interaction by interaction. And this interaction is when Jesus steps out of the boat and goes over to his own town. And we'll pick it up in verse 2. It says, some men brought to him a paralyzed man laying on a mat. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to them, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, this fellow is blaspheming. Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, get up and take your mat and go home. So the man got up and went home, and when the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe and praise to God, who had given such authority to man. So, some observations this morning. This, you know, the man on the mat was brought to Jesus, right, without a request. And I want to point that out. So it's not like the guys, you know, got together and said, you know, we're going to bring this guy before Jesus and we're going to go tell Jesus what we need, right? I'm always telling you to tell God and be specific with what you have need of, right? The Bible says that we are to make every request known to God. And that, in my mind, is this verbal list of the needs that we have. It's part of the Our Father prayer. Lord, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, right? Those are specific things. So the man on the mat was brought to Jesus without request. And so if you can imagine these guys, we don't know how many were they were in number, but they have this mat. They probably all have a corner, I would imagine. And Jesus sees them coming and the crowd's looking at them. And they go and they lay this guy before Jesus and they don't say a word, right? They don't say a word. And so my second observation here is that Jesus sees. You know, Jesus was moved by the faith of the men who brought the man before him, and they didn't even need to speak a word. They knew that Jesus knew what was best for the man. And I think that's the thing that we really that really blows me away about this text and the nature and the character of Jesus and these faithful friends, right? I mean, they could have really ruined the moment by saying, oh, Lord, he has this and he has that and, you know, specific things of what they needed. And, you know, it wasn't necessary. It wasn't necessary because Jesus sees. It wasn't necessary because Jesus was moved already by the faith of these men who brought the man to him. And the fact that they didn't even say a word, they were giving Jesus sort of the room to do what they knew he knew how to do. They didn't need to say a word. They had placed this sick man, this man that was tormented, right? They had placed him in front of his father. And the father knows what the son needs. And that's a beautiful thing. So they didn't even need to speak a word. Jesus knew what it was. And the most urgent need was met first, right? So imagine they bring this guy in, they lay him down, they sort of step back and they're looking at Jesus like, all right, your move, what's your move? And Jesus says, hey, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. So if I'm paralyzed and I'm sitting on the mat and, you know, Jesus forgives me, my first thing that I would say to him was, I'm not here for forgiveness. I'm here for healing. But he doesn't say that. And there will always be those who are waiting to be offended, right? And we have that critical spirit group of people here. And they are, you know, obviously, they're present everywhere Jesus goes, right? It doesn't matter what he does, what he says. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees, they were always looking for a way to accuse Jesus of being just like them, right? And he's blaspheming. He's blaspheming because how can he have the power to forgive sins? Well, he did, and he does. And this critical spirit, you know, Jesus reads the situation and responds. He knew their thoughts, and he knew that they were evil, and he knew that they were entertaining these thoughts, and they were such cowards that they wouldn't even say anything. Here they were mumbling, and Jesus just stops and says, look, why are you entertaining this, you know, this lack of faith in your heart? Why are you accusing me of something? I can say one thing or I can say the other. To me, they're both. The ability of Jesus is he forgives and he heals. And if you go back to the text, right, the first thing he does is he says, your sins are forgiven, right? Get up and walk. And then the last thing he says to the man, so he said to the paralyzed man, get up, take your mat and go home. He doesn't even call out for him to be healed. He just says, get up. Get up, take your mat, and go home. Three simple things. Three simple things. He didn't ask him to repent. He didn't ask him to go to church. He didn't ask him to do the things that, you know, we might encourage somebody to do. He says, get up from where you are, which is, you know, faith on the man, the paralytic man. Take your mat. In other words, you're not going to, you know, take it, but you're not going to need it, and go home. And the man got up and he took his mat and he went home. And it's an amazing thing. And this reads like an example of really bad communication, but spiritually, this is exactly what this man needed. And Jesus knew the situation. The ability of Jesus to heal and forgive is what's being pointed out here. So the point that Jesus was making was that forgiveness was the most important thing, and that he had the ability to forgive sin even before his death and resurrection. Remember, Jesus was walking around as God in the flesh, but the atonement for our sin was not paid for yet. and the sin debt was not paid for yet. So the end result was the man was forgiven and he's healing, and he got healed. So going deeper this morning, the thing that really spoke to me that was powerful in this, guys, is that we need to go to Jesus, and sometimes we need to go to Jesus, right? I think so many times when we go to Jesus, we have an agenda. These men, their number one agenda was to get this man in front of Jesus. And you think about all the things that's going on in our world right now, all of the racial divide and the pandemic and this disease and all of the fear and everything. And, you know, we got people running around and they're talking about conspiracies and this and that. And all I know about this is that the world right now needs to be brought to Jesus. We, the church, need to go to Jesus. We don't need to go to conspiracy theories. We don't need to, you know, be talking amongst ourselves about our opinion of the situation. We need to know the heart of God on this matter. And so going deeper here this morning, turning to Jesus was the most important thing. Why? Why is that the most important thing? I'll tell you. Because Jesus sees, Jesus knows, Jesus has the ability to prioritize, and he acts accordingly. Let me say it again. He sees, he knows, he prioritizes, and he acts accordingly. If we would have went, if I would have went before Jesus with my friend who was, you know, a paralyzed person, I would have went for the purpose of healing, not even knowing that the man needed forgiveness, not even knowing that there was some other issue. But Jesus didn't need to hear all that. He didn't need to hear all the noise because he knows exactly what to do. And there's times, guys, when we just need to go before the Father. Turn to Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. It's a beautiful hymn. That's what we need to do. He sees, he knows, he prioritizes, and he acts accordingly. Especially when our life is in a mess and we don't have, you know, we don't have any clue of what the next step is, and we're just sort of bringing parts and pieces of our life before God and laying them down and saying, here, fix this. You know, just Jesus knows. He sees everything before we even get there, right? Remember the prodigal son. The prodigal son was seen by the Father way before the prodigal son even knew that he was being viewed, right? So the second thing here is this miracle of forgiveness. And I think that sometimes, guys, you know, the miracle of forgiveness is often overlooked. In this case, forgiveness was more needful than the healing, right? Because it was the first thing that he did. Take heart, son. Your sins are forgiven. And remember, if Greg's sitting in the audience, like, Jesus, he didn't come here to be forgiven. Clearly, this guy needs to be healed. But Jesus knew better. He had the power to forgive sin, just like he had the power to heal paralysis. In fact, Jesus used the physical healing to confirm his authority and, you know, to dispense the true spiritual healing. He says, and let me just quote what the scripture says again, I want you to know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sin. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. And immediately he stood up in front of them. He took what he had been laying on, and he went home praising God. That's Luke's version of this particular issue. So, going deeper, you turn to Jesus. Number two, the miracle of forgiveness. Guys, don't overlook that. Don't overlook the fact that it is a miracle every time you go before God and ask for forgiveness, and you are forgiven by him. How many times? 70 times 7. How many times are we to forgive one another? 70 times 7. It, you know, going back to the Our Father prayer, he even says it in there. You know, don't expect us to, you know, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. They're part and parcel. They're connected together. I'm not going to ask God for forgiveness if I'm not standing in a place to forgive somebody that has offended me. And I think that sometimes we just overlook the miracle of forgiveness, and we're looking for the physical miracles. We're looking for the person to be healed of paralysis or to be healed of, you know, some disease, cancer, heart disease, whatever it is. We're looking for some touchy-feely thing that can happen. And in Jesus's economy, forgiveness was the needful thing. It was the most important thing. And I think that that speaks a lot to the church, guys, and when we see somebody forgiven, it is a miracle. So not only do we need to go to Jesus, not only, you know, do we need to go before him because he sees, he knows, he prioritizes, and he acts accordingly, we need to celebrate the miracle of forgiveness. Why? Number three, because forgiveness is God's business. The principle is found all throughout the Bible. Forgiveness is God's business, period. Psalm 130 says, with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. Psalm 86 says, you, O Lord, are good and ready to forgive. Daniel chapter 9:9, to the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness. And when Jesus displayed his power to forgive sin, he clearly showed that he was the Son of God, yielding God's authority in this world, right? Luke chapter 5:21, you can forgive sin. Who can forgive sin but God alone? Why? Because Jesus is incarnate, right? He's incarnate. So this forgiveness is God's business. It's something that we need to be reminded of. And this man, again, he needed that forgiveness more than anything else. And in the way that Jesus dealt with him, he was sick in two specific areas. He was sick spiritually and he was sick physically. And the Lord loves us so much, guys, that when we come before him, we don't get half a work. We get the whole work. We get healed from the inside out. It's a beautiful thing. And going deeper, the fourth thing here is healing from the inside out. Jesus sees, right? He knew that the man needed healing from the inside, forgiveness, and the outside, physical healing. Physical pain often leads to spiritual pain. Fear and frustration run rampant. I can speak to this. There were times in I've had a lot of physical things go wrong. I just got done with a bout of shingles, of all places, on my head. And, you know, I was not in a good mood. When you're suffering and in lots of pain, you just don't find yourself at your spiritual best, right? There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of frustration. There's a lot of, you know, Lord, can anything else bad happen to me? I mean, that's kind of how I feel sometimes. And I know that it's not right, but remember, I'm flesh. I have this flesh. I have this curse that I'm living out. And physical pain often leads to spiritual pain. My wife often tells me, you know, when people are in the hospital, that sometimes you see the worst in them because they're fearful. They're frustrated. They don't know what the doctor's going to say when he comes into the room. I remember when I was going through my bout with cancer, I had a long time of chemotherapy, and it leaves you just in a really dark place, right? I mean, not only do you lose all your hair and you feel terrible wherever you go, you just have this feeling in the back of your mind, like, is all of this worth it? Am I killing my body right now to kill this cancer? Or is it just easier to roll over and die? I felt that before, right? I felt it. And Jesus saw this man, and he probably felt all of that pain, all of that unbelief, all of that junk. And Jesus, in his mind, he's thinking, hey, that's what needs to be healed first. This man needs to be forgiven. He needs to know that I love him and accept him the way he is. Oh, yeah. And by the way, I can heal him as well. So, some application. The first thing here in takeaway is, you know, like these men in the story, we need to go to Jesus, guys. We need to go to Jesus. Why? We need to go with him with every need, with every hurt, with every frustration. And we know because he sees, because Jesus sees. It's what he does. He read the situation perfectly. He didn't need to be told what to do. He didn't need a request to be made. The offer of faith was given when the men brought this guy to Jesus. And sometimes, guys, just when we go to the Lord in prayer, when we run to the Lord as a shelter, we're speaking to him that he is the priority, that we are no longer master of our own future, of our own destiny, that we have humbled ourselves and just placed our life in the hands of Jesus. Like these men in our story this morning, we need to go to Jesus in everything. The second thing is the miracle of forgiveness in you. Don't take it for granted, guys. Be grateful for that forgiveness that came at a great cost. And not only should we be grateful that it came at a great cost, but we ought to pass it along to others. And I'm sure there's people in your life right now that you can be angry with. And you know, are you holding up God's forgiveness in your life because you're not forgiving other people? Just let it go. Let it go. I had a friend in the ministry who just had somebody sin against him, and he just never could let it go. And this thing was like a weight around his neck. And it would come up from time to time, and he just couldn't get past it. And it was really something that held him back. It was really something that you know, allowed him to be something other than fully formed. And it's a very serious thing when we play with forgiveness that we are not to do that. We should be ready to forgive just as God is ready to forgive. And when God forgives us, it's a miracle. And when we forgive other people, it's a miracle. And lastly, when we come to Jesus, all needs will be met. And we must look, you know, at and trust him that he sees everything that needs to be done. We must come by faith, and we must come with an intercessory faith. Sometimes we're bringing people in prayer before Jesus, right? Sometimes we can't physically, obviously, we can't physically go find Jesus on the earth right now and bring, but we can through intercessory prayer. We can bring people before the Lord and lift them up in prayer. Guys, there's so much to pray about these days. The state of our nation, this pandemic. You know, God has the answer to this pandemic. He has the healing. He could speak it out of existence in 1 second, right? But are we asking that? Or are we just getting caught up in the storm of controversy? As we're the church, we're to be the answer. We're to be the light. We're to be the salt of the earth. We're to be the thing that solves this particular problem. We've left it to the hands of politicians. We've left it to the hands of those who would create conspiracies. But the thing that we've neglected to do is go before God and say, oh, by the way, can you just wipe out this disease once and for all? And you say, well, Greg, that's a really big prayer, and I don't know if I could pray that. Well, does it seem like Jesus was bothered to heal somebody of being paralyzed, which medical research and everything that we've done can't do that today? But yet Jesus can look at a man that cannot walk, that cannot move, and say, oh, by the way, get up. And not only get up, but take your mat and walk home. That's a healing. He could end this disease with one command. So just to reiterate, what are you taking away this morning? Well, I'm telling you, if you don't learn this lesson now, you're going to learn it sooner or later. It's a spiritual lesson. You need to go to Jesus. You need to understand the miracle of forgiveness in you. And when you come to Jesus, you need to understand that he's going to meet every need, right? The Bible says that he is a manifold blessing, right? And he even said, I will do more than you are capable of even understanding or even asking. I will do beyond what you're capable of even thinking. We go to God and we say, I want you to do this little thing, and he has such greater things in mind for us and greater things concerning us. If you're listening online this morning, I want to offer you an opportunity to meet Jesus Christ personally. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that you will be saved. And I encourage you to make that your prayer this morning, and Jesus Christ will come into your life and radically change you. And if he's done that, and if you've done that, give us a call. You can search through our website that you're on right now and find our phone number and share with us the decision that you made to follow Jesus so that we may rejoice with you. For those who listen regularly, who we will be seeing soon as we gather, the Lord has shown you, man and woman, what he requires of us, that we do justly, that we love mercy, and that we walk humbly with our God. I pray that you do that now in Jesus' name. Amen.